Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi, Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona 85046. We have been talking about the love flock, the manifestation of the sons of God, the sons of love. That is what God has been waiting for until this love of God is manifesting in His people. So that we can have compassion for the lost, compassion for the sick, compassion for the afflicted. And we can be like our Father indeed, that showed love to mankind and He forgave us all freely. And He's coming soon to bring forth this harvesting. The first fruits must be, first fruits unto God must be sons of God, sons of love. And this is what the sermons have been all about. We read in Exodus chapter 34 where God declared His name. Let's go there again. I'm going to show to you again. Like a reminder, God declared His name before Moses. Even in the Old Testament, chapter 36, verse 6 and 7. And He described Himself in the attributes that Apostle Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That God is love. And what is this love? The attributes of love. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Here is what God said about Himself. When Moses said he wanted to know His name, and he said, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. You hear that? God is merciful and gracious. All the attributes of love. Long suffering. That's the first attribute that was said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love suffered long. God is love. It's a long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Love is kind. As kindness, goodness. Keeping mercy for thousands. Love is merciful. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. See, love remembered not the wrong done to Him. That's forgiveness that God commanded. And He said that's the fruit of love. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that we by no means clear the guilty. Love is just also. It's just. God will not clear the guilty. Even the old man was guilty. What he did was to pay the price by Himself, because He loved mankind. God is love. So God was describing to us His attributes. He was describing that proclamation of the name of God, His attributes. Merciful. Long-suffering. When you see long-suffering, take an example of how God is long-suffering. Let's go and see the story of when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we say, well, if God is love, why did He destroy these people? If God is love, why did He destroy these people? God is love. In His long suffering, He allowed Sodom and Gomorrah to even stay that long on the planet Earth. For the people there to stay that long. Remember the story of Sodom. Many years before that city was destroyed, there was war between the kings of five kings against four kings. And they conquered Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities and took them away, captives. And it was the mercy of God that Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was living in Sodom with them, or nearby Sodom. And for the mercy of God and His compassion for humanity and the love of God, Lot was captured with them and taken away captive. Because of that, somebody ran away and came and told Abraham, and God helped Abraham to pursue those kings and overtook them and conquer all those kings that came and captured Lot and Sodom and all those people. And he brought Lot, his nephew, and all their goods and all the people of Sodom back. Just think of that. By the grace and mercy of God, Abraham was the one that delivered Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities from the captivity. That was long before they were destroyed. That God showed mercy unto that city that could have been wiped out long before time, that Abraham's nephew, chapter 14 of Genesis, was where that war took place. And they took Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities away captive. Maybe that will have been a messy solution for them not to be destroyed as a city. That Lot was living with them. But because Lot was living, God still showed mercy and Abraham saved them and brought them back to their city. And many more years passed after that when God decided that this is enough and he had to go and visit that place in chapter 18, where God talked to Abraham that the city of that of Sodom are evil continually, and God decided that he was going to destroy them. And even then, to show the love and kindness of God, in chapter 18, Abraham started praying and negotiating with God. You see, God is long-suffering. For years, that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all those cities could have been wiped out. The enemy came and tried to take them captive, and the mercy of God let Abraham save them. And they did not repent, and they kept on until they almost corrupted Lot. That God said he couldn't find 10 righteous people in that city. Read it in chapter 18 of Genesis, where God and where Abraham was negotiating with God. And Abraham kept saying, peradventure, 10 people will be found there that are righteous. And God said, if I find 10 righteous people, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. 10 people out of 2 cities. God couldn't find any. He only found one, perhaps, that was almost turned into their ungodliness by the mercy and prayer of Abraham. And that was how they were destroyed. God is long-suffering. By the time a whole city or 2 cities in a row became so vile that God couldn't find more than one righteous person, that is long-suffering, because they didn't become like that in a single day. It has been degenerating for years. And look at what is going on in your own country right now. As your country, as your city, been degenerating until you cannot even find 10 righteous people there, then you better be careful, because like we have always said, judgment follows those things. What about your country? What about this America? Can we still find 10 righteous from in every city, or more than 10 in every city? That is why the mercy of God is still protecting the cities. But if the cities are corrupting everybody else, and the homosexuals are corrupting everybody else, and the law is corrupting everybody else, and nobody can live righteously anymore, then they are going down, 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 till that city may have to be destroyed. You say, is God destroying them? It is their choice that is destroying them. I have presented before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. If they are choosing the other side, the repercussions always follow. The world is choosing homosexuality. The world is choosing the sodomy behavior. The world is choosing to legalize same-sex abortion, or same-sex marriage, homosexuality, sodomy. The world is choosing that, and the judgment always follows that. It's a life and death choice. If your city is choosing that, or your government is allowing that, or your society is allowing that, until you can't even find 10 righteous men that will stand for what is the right and the truth, then judgment normally will follow. God said, I cannot even find 10. Then the judgment of God follows. It is automatic. Like I said in the earlier verses, you tell your son that, don't touch this button. If they touch the button, the light goes off. You kept the light on, but the boy disobeys and went and touched the button, and everything suddenly turning dark. He can't even find where the switch is. It was the repercussion, because these things have been ordained that should be like that. If you touch that button, it turns the light off and the whole place will be dark. That is what is going on. You say, is God judging them? God say, I will in my nose acquit the guilty, because it is ordained that it will be like that. If you choose life, life will follow you. If you choose blessing, blessing will follow you. But if you choose death, death will follow. If you choose disobedience, death follows. That is exactly what is going on in the world, because these things have been ordained by God. God said, I will not be able to turn it around, because it is ordained by God. You now need a repairer to come running to turn the light on again. The one that knows where the switch is by experience. So this is an example of God's love and compassion for mankind. It allowed Sodom and Gomorrah so many years of repent and they didn't repent. Repent and they didn't repent until they destroyed themselves. They actually destroyed themselves. This is God that is love, that is saying we have to become sons of God, sons of patience, long suffering. That is also abundance in goodness and in truth, like our Father God. This is the love flock God is calling us to become sons of God, sons of love, patience, long suffering, kindness, like He is. Let's give another example. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Because what we are saying is that it is the same God of the Old Testament. Our God in the Old Testament was God of love. You see, what are all those judgments that was going on? It was allowed there so that they can see exactly that what they are choosing is killing them. Even up till now, it's our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still the same thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What human beings choose will still be bringing that repercussion, whether you are Christian or unbeliever. Choose life, and that life will be bringing blessing. And you are choosing life when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and keep on choosing life, and blessing will come to follow. Now, those who have refused to choose life because they refuse to accept Christ, they are already choosing death, which is the death in the lake of fire, if they have not accepted Christ. Now, if they come to choose death by their behaviors, that also brings additional repercussion in this life. You see, now, you have chosen life by following Jesus Christ, you are on your way to eternal life. Now, continue to choose life by your behaviors and following the precepts of Christ, and blessings will be following in this current life. See, that is what means choose life. So now all the people that are choosing evil behaviors and they are choosing death, the death will follow them in this current life because all those behaviors have repercussion. Whether you are following Christ or not, a behavior can have repercussion. And those are the death repercussions that can occur even right here on this world. And people will be groaning and crying unto God after they have already chosen their disobedience. So choose life and blessing will be following. In an example, Luke in Gospel of John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ made us to see this, that even the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament, is the God of love. And Christ came to manifest the same God of love. But human beings are the ones that make all those rules and laws that look like a God of judgment. It's actually human beings that made it to control behaviors. They made those laws to control behaviors because people refuse to repent. In Gospel of John chapter 16, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 2. From verse 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Well, the Lord was referring to the persecution that came from the Jewish rabbis and those unbelieving Jews in that generation against the believing Jews and the Christians that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they persecuted these people, these Christians, and said the Christians are blaspheming. And the people that were persecuting the believers were claiming to be persecuting them in the name of their Jehovah God, which they really did not know. One of the people was a man called Saul, who thought he was one of the rabbis, and he really believed that he was doing it for God. And Jesus Christ was saying it ahead of time that they will be killing you thinking they are doing God's service. They say you blaspheme against God. And so they arrested the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "You blaspheme by calling yourself Son of God." And they crucified him. He said they thought they are doing God's service. Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul, the persecutor, he was arresting the Christians, putting them in jail, thinking he was doing God's service. He said, but Christ said, "But they have not known God, nor me, the Messiah." They did not know him. So the laws that Moses wrote that make them that they should kill anyone that blaspheme look like it's a right law, but these people do not know God. They are killing people that they think blaspheme. whereas they are not blaspheming. And even if they blaspheme, God did not strike them down. If they actually blaspheme, God has the power to strike them down himself, but he did not, because God is love. But human beings took it upon themselves, and it's going on right now, and also in this generation, the so-called Islamic jihad. Somebody say something about their holy prophet, and they want that man killed. You see, they do not know God. Somebody wrote something against their holy prophet, and they said that man that wrote it should be killed, and they went and shot the man to death. They do not know God, because God is love. If God is to strike everybody that blasphemes against him down with lightning, he has the power to do it, but he does not do it. He is God of love. He loved mankind so much that he even came and died for mankind. But human beings made all those laws and those rules that shall not blaspheme, and try to keep people in line, and they kill one another, kill other people because of it. And God said, they have not known me. Jesus Christ said, they do not know the Father nor me. That's why they will kill you, and thinking they are doing God's service. Whereas they actually are killing those who are doing God's service. Amen. So, Father, we forgive them. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us the true God that is love. He manifested the true God that is love. That's why he could pray on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Because this God that they are trying to serve is a God that is love. And anyone that is really serving him has to have this love of God manifesting you. That is the love of God that he said, love your enemy. Even if they are your enemy, love them. Pray for them that persecute you. Pray for them. He said, bless them that curse you, that you can be the children of your Father in heaven indeed. That is the God that created all things, the God that is love. When you begin to see that way, you say, well, yeah, but why did that happen? Why did he kill all multitudes in the wilderness? It is their choices that was killing them. Like I explained, it's the choices of mankind that is killing them. The choice of disobedience to his law will pull evil upon them, because it's already said that if you pull this, you are pulling evil upon you. If you touch that, if you stay under the blessing and obedience, blessing will be following you. Choose life. If you choose death and curse, it will be pulling upon you, because these things are ordained to happen. They are ordained to happen. Let me give an example of what I'm saying. In the book of the prophet Zechariah, Zechariah saw a flying roll, and the angel told him that, what is this? A flying roll, it is cut off on this side and cut off on that side. And he said, God, and the angel told him that is a curse that has been sent upon the whole world. That curse is like a heavy rain, a heavy cloud of evil that is already ordained, that anybody that steals, this will happen to him. It's not God that is going to do it. It's already ordained. Like I said, you have your house wired, electricity is connected to it, and they put a button at a corner. And they told the householder, the light is on, this button will control. If you press that button, you will turn the light off. Don't touch the button. Just leave it on. And if you don't obey and you press the button and you turn the light off and everything is so dark that you can't even see the button location, that is your problem. But if you have obeyed, you will be under blessing. But if you choose to disobey, you will be under the curse. Remember the story of another story of a legendary story in my country, where they say somebody was blaming Adam. It is Adam's fault that every evil thing comes. It is Adam's fault that every evil thing comes. And somebody said, okay, you think it's Adam's fault? You don't have any blame? He said, no, it's all Adam's fault. That's why misery is coming to mankind. It's okay. Well, let's prove it. And this man was made to be, he was a hunter. This is the story of a hunter that always thinks it was Adam's fault. So they make this, they call this hunter and make him a king in a town. They called him from a village, from a jungle, and say, you come and become our king in this town. So he suddenly become the owner of everything, and rich and wealthy, and the whole place was serving him in the palace. They say, everything is in this palace is yours, but there's a small room here that you should not open. And don't open this little room. Other than that, the whole town is yours. The whole palace is yours. And he was happy in wealth, in big garments, in big robes, royalty. But one day this hunter became king, was drunk. And he was proud and arrogant. He said, look, I own everything here. I own the whole palace. How can they say there's a little room I should not even open? Why is that? Me that is so powerful, I own everything. And they say, well, the king, they say you should not open. He said, leave me alone. And he went and opened this little room, went inside to see what is inside, and suddenly he just found himself in the jungle again, poor, miserable, how he came. And the fellow that challenged him before said, you see what I told you? You thought it was Adam's fault? Adam just did exactly what you just did, disobedience. Adam owned everything, but don't touch this fruit. And one day they did touch the fruit and they lost everything. That same thing happened to that hunter. That is, it is your choice that is bringing those evil. Choose life and blessings will be what you continue to enjoy. Choose death. Choose disobedience. What God says is disobedience, the homosexuality, the ungodliness, the lying, the corruption, the embezzlement, all the bribery and corruption, all the evil things that God said don't touch. Those are the things that are pulling down curse and death upon mankind. When you stay with life, obeying the word of God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, let the compassion of God rise in you. Lord, that love is going to be bringing blessing upon blessing upon blessing. That is what the Lord is telling us. But the world put all those laws to keep people in the straight and narrow road, but they themselves couldn't stay in the straight and narrow road. Lord Jesus Christ said they will do all these evil things to you, thinking they are doing God's service. It's because they have not known the Father nor me. That is, the Father, our God, is a God of love. It's not God that is killing mankind. It is not God that is putting all those curses upon us. It's just what he has ordained. It is already ordained. It is you that is choosing. Your choice is pulling the curse upon you or the blessing. Choose life and you will be under blessing. But they have not known the Father nor me. That's why they are persecuting the Christians. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If they have known God, that God is love, they will not be cursing and killing other people like they were doing in other religions. Christ has come to save mankind. Think about that. Think about that. Another time, the Lord Jesus Christ was going with his apostles. In Gospel of John, Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Here, in verse 53, they came to a village of the Samaritans. Because they were going towards Jerusalem, they said the Samaritans received him not. Verse 51, let me start from verse 51 and read this story to you. To show that God that we are serving is the God of love. And Jesus Christ is the express image of him. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now the reason was this: in those days, the Samaritans and the Jews were at loggerheads. They didn't like each other. Tribalism, kind of hatred. So anyone that is a Jew or going towards Jerusalem that is not from their own tribe, they don't want people going to Jerusalem. So that's why they did not receive him. And then what happened? Verse 54, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. Well, that is an example of what the Lord is saying. God is love. You may say, well, but in those days, Elijah did that. He destroyed them. That was Elijah, that was a woman made. But you have to remember, it is the choice that woman made that is causing these things to come upon them. The choice. But when the Lord Jesus came, he came to demonstrate what God really is, the fullness of God. God that is love has manifested his personality, his characteristics to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Elijah was just a prophet. Moses was one of the prophets. They did things according to their own emotions, according to their own characters, according to their own values. But the God that they are trying to serve is the God of love. God allowed those things to happen in their own generation. Even up to now, he still allows men to curse, even though he has said curse not. Even Christians still cursing, even though they have claimed, they have said they are not to curse, because they have not come to the fullness of the stature of Christ yet. The fullness of the sons of God. An example of a son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ showing it to us right here in the Bible. That ye know not what manner of speech ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Because he is the express image of God. The God that is love. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ manifested. That's an example of him manifesting his love for mankind. That he didn't come to destroy mankind, but to save them. And here's another example where the apostles say, oh, we found somebody in verse 49. And John answered and said to the master, Master, we saw one man casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him because he followed not with us. You see, the same confrontation, competition, God is showing that, hey, God is love. What did the Lord Jesus Christ answer them? He said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. See, the love that Christ is manifesting, the God that we are serving is a God of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Seeketh not our own. Jesus just manifested that. They are seeking their own. Oh, you are not one of our disciples. You are not one of us. That's seeking us, me, mine. Jesus Christ said, if he is not against us, he is for us. Well, none of the believers of this time will even think that way. He just goes to that church. It's not of our church. So he can't use our building that God gave to us. I remember trying to start a prayer meeting and looking for a place where we can. And there are churches with classrooms everywhere, and they won't let us use it. I'm not condemning them. I'm just giving examples, because maybe I should have been wise enough to get my own too. Or I'll let the Lord bless me enough to get my own. That's what they would assume I should say. But they won't let us use it for many reasons. And they say, God give us this building, and yet you can't use it because you are not of our group, our division, our church. Go look for your own church, or you build your own. See, but God, that's exactly what the apostles were saying there. It does not come with us, so we forbid him not to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. And Jesus Christ said, forbid him not. If it's not against us, it's for us. Our God that we are serving is a God of love. See the love of God being manifested. And many other examples that God showed to us, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it, that God, that they said that they have not known the Father nor me. That's why I read John chapter 16, verse 2 and 3 to you, of what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the apostles. So these things they will do unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. That is, when we know the Father, have we really known the Father, the eternal Father, the everlasting Father, he that is from the beginning, have we really known him? When we know him, we say he is God that is love. And when we want to be his son, we want to be the sons of love, manifesting all those fruits of love. And that is what he's calling you and I unto. And I pray that the Lord will make you to see what I have seen and I'm trying to show to you, that God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, in all the attributes of love, and God in him. And I'm praying that the Lord will burn this message into your heart, so that you will begin to exercise these attributes of love, so that you are creating an atmosphere for that seed of love that is already deposited in you by the Holy Ghost to germinate, blossom, and take over your being, so that you can be a son of love, son of God indeed. Because that is what Christ is waiting for his church to blossom in love, so that we can come and be with him as his bride indeed. God bless you. This has been Gospel Distribution Ministry. Write to us and we shall send you these messages in CD form or on the internet, gospeldistribution.org. And we shall send you some more. If you send us letters, by writing to Gospel Distribution Ministry, Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona 85046. Again, Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona 85046, USA. God bless you.